Christian Parenting.
Well, aloha and welcome back to the podcast. I want to say Happy New Year again. I think the whole month of January, I just feel like I need to say Happy New Year. And today's episode is really kind of my personal Happy New Year episode for all of you since we've had a couple interviews this year. Today, I want to talk about some things I'm working on in the new year that I think could benefit a whole lot of people. These are things that I've been thinking about for a while. Some of them I've worked on in the past, but hey, nothing like a new year to put those energies back into some important changes that can really move the needle in our health, in our relationships, and in so many ways. So here are 8 reasonable habits that will make a big difference in your life. Now, before I hop into that, I just want to remind all of you that I have a few books out there. If you haven't read them, if you happen to have boys in your life, my book, Boy Mom, has been my biggest seller, continues to be a very popular book for all the moms of boys. Or if you know someone maybe pregnant with a boy, hey, this is the book for you. In it, I talk about what your son needs most from you as a mom, and I just think it'll really encourage you. Second, Raising Amazing is a book I wrote with my husband's help. This is a book that focuses on character, faith, and family relationships. My husband put a word to the dads at the end of each chapter. And another fun fact is that each of my boys contributed some writing to each of the chapters. So this book is really my heart of hearts. If you want to raise amazing kids, if you want to build a strong family, this is the book where I give you really all the nitty-gritty of things we've done, research I've done, and I think this book will really help you. And then finally, last May, my book, Becoming Homeschoolers, came out. So whether you homeschool or not, if it's something you've ever thought about, talked about, dreamt about, wondered about, this book is both my story of becoming a homeschool family, even though we never in our wildest dreams thought we would, and how we've never looked back. I have homeschooled 3 through graduation. I'm still homeschooling my 4th son. My oldest 2 got really good college scholarships, graduated from college, got jobs straight out of college, and we've just had an amazing journey as a homeschool family. And the cool thing about that book is it's a guidebook from preschool to college. So it answers all your questions. If you want to talk curriculum, if you want to talk sports, if you want to talk socialization, it's all in there, okay? So check that one out. And I'm thinking about more books to come. So if you happen to be on my email list, I just want to thank you so much to those of you who responded a few weeks back. I asked, what's your vote? What would you like me to write about next? I loved hearing from you. I read every email. I wish I could respond to everyone. But friends, if you're not on that email list, I hope you will join. I take really good care of my email subscribers. I never spam you. I'll never share your email address, but you can join that weekly list at monicaswanson.com/subscribe. Once a month, the first Wednesday of each month, I share what I call a coffee date post. And that's where I share a bunch of links, helpful stuff, encouragement, some updates, photos from my life, and all of that. And we have a really good time. I love to do giveaways over there as well. So again, monicaswanson.com/subscribe. Okay, let's get into business here. As we are in this new year, going to do more solo episodes. I get a lot of questions. I hear from y'all, emails, DMs, all that. And I decided it is time that I start sharing a little bit more from my own heart. I've been podcasting 5.5 years. And one thing that tends to happen if you're a podcaster is you start to get emails, like many emails every day, from publicists, from people who are writing books, and people want to get on podcasts. I get that. I do the same thing when I write a book, but it can end up being true that a lot of my podcast is sharing other people's stuff. And when I asked a question a few weeks back in that email, I heard from a lot of people who said, I really want to hear from you. I've got questions for you. I've read your books. I've taken your courses. I have read your blog posts. I want to hear from you. And so in a sense, it's easier to interview someone else, but I love doing what I'm doing today. And so thank you for being here. Let me know if you enjoy this. Your support means so much to me, but you know, it's a little more vulnerable. And I'm going to share from my heart 8 things I'm working on this year. And you can check in with me later. Maybe at the end of the year, I'll reflect back and tell you how I did on these things. But the first few, like many in the new year, have to do with my health. Now, one thing I want to make clear, I'm really cautious about overthinking my health. I love health. I studied sports medicine in college. I've been a fitness professional. My husband's a doctor. We are a healthy family, but we're pretty much like we focus on the big stuff, the important stuff, and we really guard ourselves from getting carried away into trends, into some of the nitpicky little stuff that probably doesn't make that big of a difference, but is easy to get obsessed over, right? I'm like anyone else. I can get down that rabbit trail, especially if you give me too much social media or internet. So I really guard myself from that. But with all that being said, I'm 54. I'm in perimenopause. I have been reading some books and learning a lot, and I think there are some things that really do make a big difference. And I'm really excited to get to share more of this journey with all of you. One topic a lot of women said they want to hear more about is women's wellness, menopause, hormones, health and fitness, all those things, which if you know me, you know I love this stuff. So I want to tackle it in a way that is reasonable, that is wise, that my husband would say is evidence-based. I don't want to get carried away in some of the crazy stuff. I don't want to follow trends. I want to say what really matters, and then let's go for it and let some of the other stuff go. Now, again, I'll be sharing more, especially in my email funnel that is specifically about women's wellness. So if you're not on that list yet, go to the show notes. There's going to be a link. You can sign up and get a super cool freebie right away. And then each month, after a few months, I spread them out a little bit more, but I just send some encouragement with resources, links, some of the things I'm working on. People in that group really love it. And that's kind of my women's wellness club. So if this is a topic you love, be sure that you join that. And you can find links to all that right at my home-based website, monicaswanson.com. Go over there in the top menu bar. Just go to like start here, things drop down, and you can click on all the different topics you're most interested in, whether it be homeschooling, parenting, women's wellness, or something else. Okay, so I'm really excited to get to dive into this part of my passion a little bit more. And so the first thing I'm going to say, and I know this is not uncommon in the new year, but as a 54-year-old who is going through perimenopause, I'm really working on my sleep. And yet, it's easy to say that, but if you have this vague idea of what more sleep looks like, I find that that doesn't last. We know that goals are always most achieved when you have measurable goals, when you have specific goals, right? We call these SMART goals. And so I'll have a little more about SMART goals over in the show notes. I don't want to get down that rabbit trail, but I will say that one thing that's helping me is my Oura ring. So I got an Oura ring for my birthday last October. I've never worn a tracker. I've had an Apple Watch before, but I just didn't even tap into all that it could do for me. So the jury's still out on how I'm feeling in general about having a tracker. I see the potential for it to make me obsess, but I also really am appreciating the feedback I'm getting about my sleep. Because for many years, my sleep has been a struggle. And sometimes I would wake up and be like, I think I was awake half the night. But in reality, I'd be like, was I really? And so with my Oura ring, I can actually wake up. And sometimes what I do, my husband will get up to go to the hospital at like 5 a.m. I'll roll over, look at my phone, and it'll show that I've had like 6 hours of sleep. And I'll be like, nope, you go back to sleep. Other times I'll wake up and it'll say 7 hours. Maybe I went to bed extra early and I slept unusually well. So I'll be like, okay, let's go. Let's get up and get moving. So focusing on my sleep has been a big priority in the new year. Couple things I'm doing, I'm working on that bedtime routine. And again, this is all so overdone and everyone knows to do it, but how many of us actually do it, right? So I am working on getting off of screens, putting my work away after dinner, no more work, no more screens, unless we're all watching an entertaining show, something, you know, something fun and light. And then trying to do some reading, trying to turn off my lights and just have a candlelight and maybe just my bedside lamp. So the bedtime routine is a real thing. I've also shared before that I take a supplement, I guess you would call it, but typically I take it in tea form. It's called Calm Sleep. It's a magnesium supplement. And I know there's so many supplements out there for sleep. I get ads just like the rest of you. If you've tapped on one, you'll start getting more and more. But at this point, I try to keep things simple. I try to do some deep breathing. If I can, I stretch a little bit and then I put myself to sleep. And I do want to talk more about sleep on the podcast here in the next months. I actually want to have somebody on the podcast who is an expert in this. So look for more on that also in the Women's Wellness Funnel. I will definitely be talking about sleep more in the months to come, but sleep's a big deal. Number two, I'm trying to make my workouts count and moving throughout the day more. Now, let me explain. I probably exercise 4 to 5 times a week, when my kids were young, I made it a goal to just make sure I exercise 3 times a week. I thought that was reasonable. But now that kids are older and I really can, I'd say most weeks I probably exercise 5 times a week. But what I've started doing is I've gotten lazy. So if I go for a run, I end up walking more than running, which is fine. Walking's great. But okay, and if I'm on my Peloton, I end up multitasking and like writing text messages or making a phone call or checking my calendar, and I'm hardly moving my legs. So back in the day when I was an athlete, there was a season where I ran cross country at Pepperdine University. I did some marathons. I've done triathlons. Like when I was an athlete, I would have never stood for that. I'd be like, get your butt moving. If you're going to spend 30 minutes exercising, make it count. And so I have in this new year realized that I could do better, that I could push a little bit harder. Now, all this started with conversations with my grown sons who are home for the holidays, and they wear the Whoop tracker. I don't know if you've heard of that one, but it's a great one too. It's on their wrist. And so we all discuss things like heart rate variability, which was brand new to me recently. Somehow I've always tracked things like, where's my heart rate? Do I have a low enough heart rate? How's my blood pressure? Those basics. But heart rate variability is its own topic and maybe something I will dive into more in a future episode or in my women's wellness funnel. But what I realized is that to have a healthy heart rate variability, which you want it to be high, not low, you want to push yourself and get your heart rate really up there at least a few times a week. And so I'm trying to make my workouts count. So maybe I'm doing shorter workouts. Maybe it's just 20 minutes on the bike, but I'm actually pushing hard for those 20 minutes. And then here's the other thing I've discovered. When I work out, I often do a workout and then I sit right here where you see me at my desk for hours and hours, or I go sit out where Levi's doing homeschool. And I'm spending most of my day sitting. So it's like, yeah, I'm glad I worked out for 30 minutes, but then I'm sitting. So what I'm trying to do is get better about getting up and moving around, just being active, because there has been plenty of research that's shown that it's not just important that you do a workout, but it's really important that you move throughout the day. I will link to one particular article that was from the Harvard Health, and just based on research that moving throughout the day has been proven to decrease chances of cardiovascular incidences. Now, I have heart disease in my family, so that's the main motivation I have for all of these things. I want to take care of my heart. I want to be as healthy as I can because I want to avoid heart disease, strokes, and heart attacks. And so sedentary behavior has been absolutely associated, of course, with more cardiac problems. But specifically, moving throughout the day is really important. And the more you sit, it's linked to those raised blood sugar levels, which of course is going to be associated with things like diabetes down the road. So we don't want our blood sugar levels to be raised. We don't want to wear out our insulin. And so move throughout the day. It's really healthy. And that's something I'm working on. So let's see how I do in that, right? Again, both of these things are my Oura Rings helping me. It's telling me at the end of the day, it shows me a graph of how much I've moved. So I do encourage you, if you're not using a tracker, I think a Fitbit is absolutely all you need. I probably should have just got a Fitbit, but hey, it was my birthday gift. I thought it was kind of pretty. So I've got the Oura Ring. Fitbit works. Apple Watch works. The Whoop, I'll link to all of these over in show notes that my boys use. Those actually are free, but you do pay a monthly fee to use the Whoop and all the tracking it does. Now, if you don't have a tracker, can you still do all this? Absolutely, yes. But I find that the tracker just kind of gives me a little more objective information to follow. Third thing I'm doing is I'm working on my health, my nutrition, what I eat. And if you have followed me for long, you know that I believe in moderation and freedom. I've always tried to have a fairly healthy diet. My husband and I both eat, you know, a lot of plant-based foods, lean proteins. We're pretty careful with our diet normally, but I do tend to get lazy. And if you've read my book, The Secret of Your Naturally Skinny Friends, the super fun news this week, hopefully if everything goes as planned, it will be available in audio version. So I published that book how many years ago? I think like 8 years ago. I'm losing track. But I know many of you have read it. It's super short and sweet. It is my story of overcoming obsessions with food, my body, my weight, all of that, and finding freedom and landing at my ideal weight and staying there literally through 2 more pregnancies and 20 more years. So this all happened 22 years ago. So I'm really, really grateful for my freedom. And with that freedom, I have never followed a diet. I don't want to ever follow a diet plan again. But what's cool is because I'm free, it allows me to now think about food and think about my health for health reasons, literally. Whereas in my earlier years, I might have said, oh, I want to be healthy, but the true motivation was I want to lose weight. I want to be thin. I want control, right? Now I'm like, actually, I'm making choices because I literally want to avoid heart disease. I really want to live a long and healthy life. So it has nothing to do with calories. It has nothing to do with my weight. It's really about health choices for the right reason. So I'm so grateful for the freedom that I have and how that allows me now to focus on health for all of the right reasons. So some of the things I'm doing, I'm really watching my sugar intake. I know that during menopause, blood sugar levels typically go up. That's very common. I want to be careful. My father has diabetes. He actually has type 1 diabetes that he was diagnosed with when he was 60 years old. So that was probably an autoimmune thing. I'm not sure. It was a unique situation, but he is insulin dependent diabetic, and he and I both agree, I don't want that. And so I'm wanting to be really careful with my sugar intake. I'm eating more fiber. That's good for everyone. And really trying to up my protein. We all know that our protein intake needs to go up as we age. We lose muscle mass very quickly, supposedly starting like in your 30s maybe, but I think 40s and 50s especially. So I am eating more protein, being really intentional, adding tofu, eggs. Thankfully, we have chickens that lay eggs, cottage cheese, Greek yogurt, those kinds of things, trying to not just go for quick, easy carbs, but really leaning into proteins more. So that's been really good for me. And the good news is when you eat protein, it does help you stay satiated. You feel fuller for longer. So those are all health-related choices I'm making in the new year. I don't track. I don't write down what I eat. For some people, I know that's helpful. I personally don't do it, again, for all the reasons in my book, The Secret of Your Naturally Skinny Friends, which again, please, if you haven't read it, if you enjoy audiobooks, even if you have read it, I recorded it last fall, winter, and it is now available. So over in show notes, there will be a link to The Secret of Your Naturally Skinny Friends on audio. And what's fun is with it is a PDF download you can get of the whole thought diet, which is the second half of the book. It's for people who have kind of gotten used to relying on diets to tell them what to eat. They feel a little bit out of control when they move away from diets. And so I give a PDF where you can follow 30 days of a thought diet, where you're really learning to reprogram the way you think, giving yourself some scripts, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, morning, noon, and evening. And the thought diet's been really popular, so you can just download that part. And the whole book is me reading it to you. So I hope you'll enjoy that. Okay, let's move on, because there are more things I'm working on than just the health things. This is another common New Year's resolution, I know, but I'm really working on making decluttering a lifestyle. I tend to get busy and let things build up, and then I go nuts and I'm like, everybody join me. We need to declutter. We need to clean. I'll tackle a closet. It'll take all day. And I just realize how kind of immature that is. Like, it's just unwise. We could declutter continually. And I know I'm human. I give myself grace. When I have a big project, sometimes I have to overlook things and keep moving. But I really am trying to work on daily doing a little pickup, clean up as I go throughout the day. Again, maybe midday and then again in the evening right before dinner, just kind of looking for what's out and about and putting it away. I will link to a decluttering challenge over in show notes. I shared it in my first of the year coffee date email, but I think it's great to start off tackling a few areas and then keeping it up hopefully throughout the year. Hey friends, one of the many myths about homeschoolers is that homeschoolers do not attend college after high school. Now, sometimes that is the case, and there are some great alternatives to going to college. But if your child is interested in pursuing some kind of career that requires college, like my two oldest sons have, then college is really important. And the truth is, you can absolutely go to college after being homeschooled, especially if you have great curriculum. That's why I love to tell you about the DiveIntoMath.com curriculum, where our good friend Dr. Shorman teaches amazing math and science classes through the AP level. Now, my two oldest sons studied engineering and data analytics in college, and they give Dr. Shorman lots of credit for both getting into college and getting good scholarships into college, as well as a smooth transition into their college classes after being homeschooled. So a few things you need to know about diveintomath.com. Dr. Shorman teaches everything from a biblical perspective. My boys loved that they had four-day school weeks with short lessons, but Dr. Shorman was able to make it all interesting and pack so much information into each lesson. Also important to note that Dr. Shorman's Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Now, Dr. Shorman's math classes are based on John Saxon's proven teaching methods of continual review and the integration of algebra and geometry. Friends, you want to run over to diveintomath.com, check out everything they have to offer. I think you're going to be impressed. Okay, so that was number four. Number five. My husband and I are working on our own evening routine. This is not just bedtime routine, but really being more intentional with the time we have, especially since we still have one little guy in the house. He's hardly little. Levi's 14 and growing like a weed, but it's so easy for us. I don't know about you, but it's really easy for us to have dinner, do a cleanup, and then kind of have this weird zone in our evening that's just like random. Like my son's watching YouTube golf. My husband's reading articles. I'll be like, well, I guess I could check email, or I guess I could get one more thing done. And so we're all kind of just around, and I don't like that at all. I feel like we could use our time a lot better. So reflecting back on Andrew Poudois' episode here on the podcast, which I'll link to in show notes, he was talking about reading aloud as a family. So I put my husband in charge, and he is now leading us as we are doing a read aloud. We actually, as I'm recording, it's still early in the new year, but we just started the book Treasure Island. And by the way, apparently I say the word treasure wrong. I say treasure. You're supposed to say treasure. I try. Every time I record a book, measure, treasure, all those words I say wrong. So I'm working on that. My boys laugh at me because I go to say the word and I have to pause and go, treasure. Anyway, we're reading Treasure Island together. And I'm not sure if I'm going to love that one. Maybe we'll get a chapter or two in and we'll switch books. But that's the one that was on the shelf handy, and he thought it would be a fun read aloud. So we're starting with that. I was kind of voting C.S. Lewis, but Levi says he's read most of the C.S. Lewis books. So we shall see. If you have a suggestion, leave that in show notes, and then I can share that in a future episode. But we're doing that also. My husband and I am trying to get him to go to bed early with me. He is a night owl, but trying to get him to agree to this new sleep schedule. And we are praying together at night. And you know, everyone knows that a couple who prays together stays together. It is true. Show that couples who actually pray together are much less likely to get divorced. So there's some motivation. But it's easy to get out of that habit. And we're going on 29 years of marriage here. And so my husband and I have been pulling out a book that our son gave us for Christmas that has Puritan prayers. They're kind of fancy. There are some old English words, but using these Puritan prayers have been really fun. And there's many other ways you can do it. Obviously, you can just pray your own prayers together, but it's kind of fun to read like the evening, end of the day prayer and read it together. And it helps us, I think, just slow down and connect, and then leads us sometimes to more prayers, more things that are on our mind. So then I'm gonna say number six is Levi and his, I'll call it his morning routine. We're circling back to some of the things we've done before. So this is actually number six and seven together. I'm giving Levi a checklist. I have found every child to be different. Anyone else out there with many kids who realize your kids are also different? But I'm giving him a morning checklist again. I've done this in the past, but it's been a while. But we have had some trouble making beds, having some trouble getting him to remember to do devotions without being asked. So now there is a checklist in his room, and it says three things he needs to do before he even comes out and joins the family. And that is get up, make your bed, make your bed. Successful people make their beds. I don't know. It's just a fact. And I want to see his bed made. Number two, brush your teeth. Somehow he likes to skip that in the morning. And number three, do devotions. Now he's allowed to do devotions out in the living room with all of us. He doesn't have to do them in his room, but that needs to be the first thing he does. It's really easy for him to come out and just start getting carried away, jumping into school or breakfast or scrolling on mom's phone because he does not have a phone. But trying to get him to do those three things before anything else. And that's number six. But then I'll put that with number 7, which is we're back to a chore chart. Yes, I have a 20-year-old that lives at home, but I've found that chores have been sorely lacking. I mean, kids jump in and do things here and there, but we've had to kind of go back to assigning who does what. And the 20-year-old is super helpful when he's around. Obviously, he travels a lot, but just assigning the boys areas of the house that I need help in. And hey, chore charts are incredibly helpful. Many of you know my story. I went many years where I tried all different chore charts and we were failing and I was about to give up. And then I created my own and it was a game changer. And it's what we used all the years that I was raising my 4 sons. And I do have a blog post where I show you exactly how I do it. And I will link to that in show notes as well. That's been a really popular blog post. It's super simple, guys. My chore chart is not complicated, but it works. So if you want one, I will share that with you. So that's number 7. And then finally, number 8, this is something that my strategist, Leanne, my business manager strategist, and I have talked about, and this is my to-do list. I don't know about you guys, but man, my to-do list is so long and there's always so much on it and it can be really overwhelming. And the fact is at the end of the day, I often feel overwhelmed, like, wow, I feel like I did so much today and yet I look at my to-do list and it's still so long. So what we're working on is I have an ongoing to-do list that is online, but then in my little paper planner, I write down 3 big rocks every day. 3 big rocks. These are the 3 things that if I get these 3 done, I will feel like I had a successful day, work-wise or home-wise. Sometimes it's a combination, but I'm really working on getting it down to 3 things, and then everything else is icing on the cake. This means I'm probably not gonna be as efficient. I shouldn't say efficient. I may not get as much done, but I'm getting the important things done. Because sometimes it's easy for me to go check, check, check all these little things, but then there's that big one that needs to be done that I just ignored. So I'm really putting the most important things first, and then I'm tackling the rest as I have time. And with that, I'm really trying to keep my priorities in order. My family, my son who needs me, my husband, this home. I want to be a homemaker first and foremost. And if that means it takes me longer to write the next book or to create the next course, that's okay. But I want to have those big rocks in place. And I know you all have heard, so I don't need to explain the big rocks idea. But just as a visual reminder, if you take a jar, you pour a bunch of little rocks in it, sand maybe, and then at the end you try to put big rocks in, they're not going to fit, right? They're going to be falling out the top. But if we put the big rocks in the jar first, then we pour all the small rocks in the sand, they all settle down and fit nicely. So that's the idea of the big rocks. And I think it really is as simple as it is. It's really practical. It's important that we keep our priorities straight. And it's easy to lose priorities. And so God has reminded me of the importance of putting the first things first. So time with Him in the mornings, time with family, taking care of the house, recruiting the boys to help with their chores, but then doing the work that needs to be done. All right, guys, so I'll have a list of these 8 things that I'm working on in the new year over in show notes. And if you have any follow-up questions, let me know. Let me know if you have resonated with any of the things I'm working on, if they are similar to anything on your list. I'd love to hear about your own New Year's goals and ambitions. And just, I'd love to hear from you in general. So you can always comment. And show notes for today's episode will be found at monicaswanson.com/8-things. Okay, 8 things. And again, I hope these have encouraged you and I will look forward to being back. I've got more interviews coming up in the next few weeks, but I'm also going to have some more solo episodes coming up. So can't wait to do this spring with all of you. God bless you guys. Oh, I should say the month of February, we're going straight into love and marriage with some incredible interviews. Chat with my husband, sharing some of our honest, authentic story of our 29 years, but some really helpful, fun, and encouraging episodes related to dating, marriage, and everything related. So be sure to tune in the month of February. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.
Taxes was waiting around for your taxes to be done, which led to worrying about not getting any money back. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes in a day to get you up to $4,000 fast with a refund advance loan. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Expert filing only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Refund advance has $0 loan fees and 0% APR. Refund advance loans may be issued by First Century Bank N.A. or Web Bank. Terms apply. Subject to approval.